Let's imagine the not too distant future. You feel more in control of your photos than you ever have before. You look forward to the regular creative dates on your calendar. You're moving forward on that project that means so much to you. You are on fire with inspiration, and you are finally scrapbooking consistently. This is not a hypothetical, it's a real life possibility. And for the first time, I've created a workshop specifically focused on the problem of consistency. It's called Sparked, and I'm excited to share it with you for free. Visit simplescrapper.com/sparked to get access to the training and make this possibility your reality.
It's not supposed to be pretty. It's not about your artwork. It's about your heart work.
Welcome to Scrapbook Your Way, the show that explores the breadth of ways to be a memory keeper today. I'm your host, Jennifer Wilson, owner of Simple Scrapper and author of The New Rules of Scrapbooking. This is episode 249. In this episode, I'm chatting with Maritza Parra about her creative journey, the heartwork journaling method she teaches, and her belief that nothing you want is impossible. Welcome, Maritza. I'm so excited to chat with you today.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me.
Could you introduce yourself to our audience and just share a little bit about yourself? We're going to get into so much more, but some of the basics to get us off.
Okay. My name is Maritza Parra, and I am a coach and an artist and an author, and I created something called Heartwork Journaling. And I guess the beginning of my life looks nothing like what it is now. I started being a horse and an equestrian. I had a whole horse business and a breeding business before I went with my heart.
That's so interesting. Yeah, I can't wait to hear more about that and how that unfolded for you. And where do you live, if I can ask?
Right now, I live outside of San Antonio, Texas.
Okay, very fun. I actually went to college in San Antonio, so it's a fun place.
Oh, wow. Where did you go?
Trinity University.
Oh, cool. Great university.
Yes, yes. So we always ask our guests, what is exciting them right now? And one thing that's inside of your creative world, and then one thing that's going on in your everyday life.
So what's exciting me right now is my heartwork journaling certification. It feels like I am duplicating myself and just seeing what my certified instructors are creating in terms of helping other people, but not just that, but helping get their own results. I was just emailed this morning by someone who graduated, and she's a single mom, and her dream was to buy a house. She'd just been living in apartments, and last year she closed on a house, and she emailed and was like, I did this. She sent me pictures of her, you know, vacuuming, so excited in her own home. And I'm like, wow, I just seeing them create things for themselves and create daily mental and emotional wellness in their students through creativity and play and the heartwork journaling tools. It's like, I am not just excited. I'm compelled. I'm driven. I'm like having so much fun. It's insane.
That's so wonderful to hear. And what about your second thing?
My second thing is my husband and I are in the process of looking forward to ourselves, which is so fun for us. We live in San Antonio right now because my family's here, but it's too hot. It's so hot in the summer.
It is.
You just can't even. And it's gotten worse. So last year we took a long vacation and we went to different places in Colorado, and that wasn't it because he's a huge fly fisherman and the fishing wasn't good enough. He used to live in Montana. So this summer month, and we're going to go to look at different places in Montana and look for our summer home. So that is very exciting. I have a giant visual in my office of all kinds of different homes in the mountains. And I look at it and it just drives me and it excites me so much.
That's so wonderful to have like a visual goal in mind. And I think that's going to be part of what you're sharing today in terms of how your heartwork journaling tools can really drive you forward. Before we jump into that, though, we also like to talk about creative bucket lists. Now, my audience is scrapbookers, as you know, and so we're typically talking about layouts and scrapbook projects that you want to do. But I'm curious, from your perspective, is there something that you would love to do or somewhere that you'd love to go and something that kind of supports your creative life?
Yes, there is. When I turned 40, I went on a meditation retreat with a friend, and it was like silence, and you had to go into yourself and visualize. And one of the things I saw was heartwork journaling. I didn't even know what it was. I just saw a lot of women following me with paintbrushes, and I didn't really know what it was. And then that's what became heartwork journaling. The second thing I saw was me in a giant gallery with gigantic paintings of women. And they were work that I had done, like doing paintings of women that I know and women who are extraordinary, but their lives, they're not like celebrities or anything. They're just women I know who I want to celebrate. And I love painting. And so I want to do like realistic paintings. So this year I signed up for a course on realistic oil painting. And that's kind of where I want to go with that.
That sounds so exciting. That's one, like I've loved painting for as long as I can remember, but I don't think ever even experimented with oils, but I've seen so many people kind of have that curiosity like you to learn something new with it. So
I loved it. I actually have used oils before about 10 years ago and I really loved it, but then, you know, so much work and now I have like more free time. So I can do that, a little more of that play time.
Yes, yes. I can't wait to see what you create with it. So you've mentioned that your life today looks nothing like it did in the past. Can you tell us more about your journey as a creative and an artist and a business owner and how you got to where you are today?
Well, I used to be crazy horses more than I was crazy about art. And so thankfully, I was able to have horses and I dove into classical dressage and I did all that. And I had a really thriving business doing workshops, in-person workshops of dressage. I would bring in mentors and then I would also teach later on. And then I got married. I was kind of on the path, the prescribed path for me by my family and society. I got married and we started not being children. We just kept trying and kept trying and happening. So we did in vitro about 5 times and none of them worked. Mm-hmm. And so that was a lot of strain on our relationship. And one day he said, you know what? I want a divorce. So everything I thought that supposed to be, you know, being the good person, like having the kids, doing everything my family wanted me to do had brought me to a place of, I felt broken because I don't break. Like I can't look like a regular woman is created to do, mm-hmm. the number one job. Then also I was the first divorce in my Hispanic family, which was very dramatic for them. And so that brought me kind of to my knees because I just felt like a failure in so many ways. And when I came back from divorce court, I really like literally fell on my knees out of the house. And I was like, okay, how am I going to like take care of all this? What, like, I'm so lost and I have a voice, no one to save you. And that started everything. I turned off in my home. I was like, I don't want any outside influence. I need to heal. And I spent a whole year with a journal and doodling. And the doodling was to help me, you know, not want to check out, basically, to have a reason to like be positive, to be like, oh, you're breathing today. Oh, the sun is shining today.
Yes, yes.
So in that process of doing that for that year, I felt like a different person. And I said, I'm going to start a meetup and I'm going to teach this to other people, like what I'm kind of experimenting with myself. And so the meetup, one person came to the first one, Like nobody cares. Yeah. And I remember like so many times thinking over the years since then, I could have just said, nobody cares, but I didn't. I was like, okay, this one guy, and it was a guy, my people, and it was a guy. It was so funny. And just like started teaching. And then it started growing. I had committed to myself to do the meetup for a year and it started growing. Somebody started asking me, this woman said, will you coach me? And I'm like, I'm not a coach. No, I will not coach you. I'm not a coach. And she just kept asking me and she wore me down. So I let her hire me as a coach. And the first that she was coming, it was in person. Mm-hmm. So she was driving my home and I was in the kitchen and I got on my knees. I was like, God, please help me. Help me help this woman. Help me. Give me the words. Help me. And I did. And so she coached with me for a while. And I said, okay, I'm going to do more of this. And over the years, I started integrating the creativity into my coaching. So I was not a certified coach at all at that time. But I used the doodles because it helped me get different perspectives and see things differently. So I started using it. And that's how Heartwork Journaling started.
Could you share more about how you define heartwork journaling versus other practices?
So it has 8 keys. And so some of them are like mindfulness. Some of them are, there are tools that are based on Aaron Beck's cognitive behavioral theory. But it's for ordinary wellness. It's not for you have to go to a therapist. It's for how do I help take care of my mental and emotional daily wellness. And it all has to do with philosophy almost, like asking empowering questions. Your brain wants to ask the most disempowering questions, questions that are going to keep us small, keep us protected, keep us in the cave. So this is about asking, you're using those cognitive behavioral tools and then conjunction with empowering questions. And then the creativity is very important because the doodles, there's something I created called the doodle triad. And that helps you organize life into 5 components and circumstances, thoughts, emotions, actions, and results. And you doodleify them and you get the observer perspective. So I've never before been able to process shame in such a way that is compassionate and gentle and kind with myself until I saw my little self in a shame storm in my doodle. And it just gives me that witness perspective. And one of the things that the last key that I'll mention briefly is that I think that this heartwork journaling work can unlock so much personal development stuff. I had been my whole life reading all the books, doing all the therapies, and I still wasn't getting new results. But when I started using all of this and started changing the results I was getting, started changing who I was from an emotion level, then everything changed. Actually able to use all the other stuff like attachment theory, daughters of narcissists, all that stuff that had never, like, it informed me, but it didn't actually create new results. And with this, I'm able to actually use all of this, the information and education that I had invested in over decades.
So you just mentioned that it changed you. How much of that was like changing you forward versus returning you back to maybe your like original self?
Oh, that's such a great question. I think it's half and half. Because I do think we come in the world, we are curious, we're creative, we're brave. You look at any little child and most of them are like, let me at it, let me at the all the new things. I'm going to put it in my mouth, I want to touch it, feel it, you know, run around. And we get stifled because of socialization, because of our primitive brain that wants to be part of the tribe, it doesn't want to be, pushed out. So I think half is like uncovering who you were mm-hmm. in the beginning. And then this is beautiful is like, who do I want to evolve to? Who do I want to grow into? And you can choose whoever you want. You can choose. I am not, I wouldn't consider myself an extrovert, but I affect so many people with my work now. And I do it, which is so fun, from the comfort of my home with
socks
on. I had to work on my brain to be brave enough to show up on all the live streams, especially in the beginning when nobody was there, and keep showing up anyways, and just telling myself, if I keep showing up, people show up. So I think it's half and half. You uncover like who you originally were, and then you get to mold, kind of like that Michelangelo. I have a doodle that I do, which is me like cutting the stone and like creating myself out of the stone. So I think it's half and half.
At what point, as you were experiencing this for yourself and sharing it with others, did you realize that like this is more deeply powerful than you ever imagined? Are there any like specific points that just like really like stand out in your memory?
Absolutely. With certain one-on-one clients, when I would show them the doodles, and there was one in particular, and I was showing her a doodle of, it was about her relationship with money. And to show her like what her current relationship with money was versus different options. Like other people have different relationships with money, and doodles, I showed her that. And I just, even through at that time, it was GoToWebinar, Zoom wasn't invented yet, but seeing her have this huge aha. And then she was a animal communicator. She had a business as an animal communicator, and she just started making so much money. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she sees this as a relationship instead of as I have giant money blocks. So I think that was a huge thing. Also, some of my one-on-one clients with their relationships, with their like love relationships, their relationship with themselves, I also saw people have giant breakthroughs. Then, so that was one layer of, oh, I think this is really important. And then the next layer was when I launched Heartwork Journaling University, which is a membership that I have. And I didn't know if it would work. I was like, maybe I don't need to be one-on-one. Maybe I can teach people to use these tools for themselves, and I can teach, and they can just do it themselves, and I never have to talk to them.
As a fellow introvert, I understand that.
Totally. But I mean, think about it. If you have to tell everybody how to do something, your reach is so limited. Whereas if you're doing it once and lots of people are consuming it at any time and they're changing their lives. And so the first year of HJU, I think that was my giant breakthrough. That was in 21. And I just kept showing up thinking, okay, this lesson, what do they need to know when I'm not there? What are all the answers I might get? And then when people were emailing, I'm like, oh my gosh, this does change lives. It changes lives. So, but you have to start with being the person who is confident you change lives before you can actually be the person who changes lives.
Yes. It's a tricky thing. So did your own practice kind of help you get there? In terms of visualizing, like, and doodling yourself as that person.
I really do something, a little mental rehearsal. That's one of the things I teach in HJU. And it's for people, a lot of people would tell me, I can't visualize. And so I would pull myself with things that I hadn't created. I would create the little doodle, and then I would be like, okay, look at me, I'm there. And I would create the emotions. And I would be like, okay, what is this person thinking? And then, okay, this is what I need to practice to become that person. So I think that answered your question. I kind of don't remember what the question was.
No, it's all good. It's all good. I'm curious, what do you say to someone who maybe is like, I don't know how to draw. I can't draw a person. I don't feel comfortable. Maybe they're like intrigued, but they just feel resistant.
Yes, there's many, many people. Right now, we have taught over 11,000 people with Doodle Your Emotions, which is like an introductory class. Mm-hmm. And at that point in time, people are like, but I'm not creative. And Brené Brown, who is one of my mentors, she did scientific research that shows that I think it's about 85% of people who were in school have some kind of art scars. So they have some a moment where they try to do something creative and either a peer or an authority figure was like, that sucks. Oh my gosh, you should be so embarrassed. And then they just shut down their creative self. So I make it really easy because they can just follow along with me on the video. I tell them it's not supposed to be pretty. It's not about your artwork. It's about your heart work. That's it. So even if it looks like chicken scratch, and sometimes I let my doodles look like chicken scratch because I wanted to show them it really isn't. I allow the colors to go outside of the lines. I love when this happens, when I may do misspelling or I like give a doodle three arms and say like, see, this is fine. Nothing happened. That's not about at all. And so I think that gives people so much freedom. I remember once during one session of Doodle Your Emotions, a woman who had been losing her eyesight had been very creative. And then she was like, oh my gosh, you opened my creative world again, because I was thinking this is terrible. And now I have the freedom to doodle and not make it be perfect. And so she was so grateful.
Mm-hmm. I noticed on your Instagram in particular that you share a range of like art styles and approaches, different mediums, from, very simple doodles to like more abstract to very like, I don't even know how to describe some of your figures that you've done, but do you recommend looking more inside or outside of your comfort zone when it comes to how you're approaching the process?
Well, I mean, I think that depends on the person. If you're somebody who's already creative, for sure, push yourself out of and like try different things. I think the page is a metaphor. So your blank page, it's almost like your life. And some people are so scared to make any mark and take classes about how to make marks on their page. And they buy products, they buy art supplies about how to make on the page, but they don't actually make marks. So if somebody is like that and they're not very creative or very brave, just doing little doodles is perfect. That's like hugely brave for that person. And then they can use that bravery that they had on the page and translate that into bravery in their life. And then somebody who's like one of people, a scrapbooker, somebody who's got more of a creative, bones, they can try other things that make them feel out of their comfort zone. I think that's awesome. And I love it. I recommend people get uncomfortable with their artwork, because that is, you take all of those emotions into your world. I remember sometimes I would, when I was starting to use watercolor, so hard to control. And I would feel my body tense up when things go the way I wanted to. And I would, oh, this is the same kind of resistance that I have when something isn't working in my head. So I work on the page and just breathe and let myself feel the resistance and keep going anyway. And then usually when I did that and I trusted myself, it would turn into something really beautiful, which I was like, oh my gosh, so I can do this in my business.
Yes. Yes. So would you say inside your community, you have quite a range of those who create in different ways, those who have been making art all their lives to those who maybe are doing it for the first time?
Yes. Totally. And in HJU, it's so interesting because even before I had the idea for the membership, I had started recording myself doing art just for my own fun. And so I'd turn on the overhead camera. And so when I started HJU, I was like, oh, I'm going to have like an area where it's paint with me or doodle with me for people who are more practiced in art, so that they can do like other fun things too.
Nice, nice. Now, kind of stepping back, big picture here, as we're recording this at the beginning of 2024, is there a big overarching message you're really excited to communicate inside your community and beyond this year?
Yeah, nothing is impossible. Mm-hmm. Nothing you want is impossible. When I think about my certified instructor who emailed, and she felt in the beginning, she was like, my one dream is to own my own home. And when I think about my own dreams and where I am now, and now knowing like what's possible for me and for Heartwork Journaling, oh my gosh, I want everyone to know like the reason the results you have is because of your brain. And that's kind of the quote unquote problem. It's the solution, which is the best news ever, because it's not the economy, it's your husband, it's not your children, it's not your past, it's none of things. It's your brain. And we can always bring back the locus of control to ourselves, and nothing is impossible. I used to, like years ago, be in a lot of despair about my business. I would be like, oh, it's, you know, fits and starts. And I would be like, I'm never going to create what I want. And then I realized, oh, you know, if I keep saying myself and creating despair in my body, that's going to be the truth for me. So I danced with despair, assessed it. I investigated on the page and in my body. And that made me so brave to like go and create exactly what I wanted. And I think that's available to all of us.
Oh, what a beautiful way to kick off the year. I think that's definitely why I was attracted to having you on the podcast, because I could sense that that energy and positivity that you are bringing to so many women and beyond out there.
I want to make a note about positivity, yeah, because definitely Heartwork Journaling is not about being positive. I went through a phase in it for myself where I was like, no negative allowed. And it was just not helpful to me. I mean, I do feel anything's possible. But I also feel crappy emotions regularly.
Yes.
You know, I do. There's things that I don't want to do, but it changes. It morphs and it changes. I actually had a really interesting moment last week when I came back to work and I was doing something that I, you know, was scheduled for that hour. And usually I'm like, oh, tedious. Ugh. And all of a sudden I was started coaching myself in my brain with what I usually do on the page and like, okay, why am I doing this? And then the most amazing thought popped in my brain. And it was like, the magic is mundane. And all of a sudden, my whole body was like, oh, yeah, that's why I'm doing this. Because when I sit down and I do the mundane things, I can create magic. And that's what the last 4 years have felt like. But I had to feel tedious going to that and allow it to... When I show up to my calendar, which it still does half the time, I really don't want to do the thing that I put on my calendar. I'm like, ugh.
I think there's such a sense of kind of possibility in that, and like embracing and accepting that there is possibility when you address the real feelings, the real emotions, and allow yourself to move like through them.
Yes, I love that.
So can you share a bit more about what you're excited about for this year inside of your business, where we can find you, and anything you might have new or coming up?
Well, we are going to be doing a Doodle Your Emotions very soon. And it's like an introductory class for Heartwork Journaling. And people can go to doodleyouremotions.com, and either there will be a class that's live and you can enroll, or there will be a wait list there. And my goal for this year, enroll 5,000 people into Heartwork Journaling University, 5,000 new people. And that's the number one main goal under a lot of different goals. So that means that we are going to be bringing in tens of thousands of people into the doctors, which I love so much. And because I use this work on myself, I've gotten good at Facebook ads, I've gotten good at marketing, and anything's possible. So I think that we'll probably reach those goals.
Oh, that sounds so exciting. I have never participated before, so I'm eager to join you for Doodle Your Emotions. Can you share more about the format of that? Like what our listeners could expect if they enroll?
Yes. they will get an overview, like an introduction to the HeartWork journaling tools and mostly to the equation of emotion. And they'll have a little introduction also to the emotional global positioning system. And that is a map of emotions that I created that is based on the work of Dr. Davidson's, Hugh Hawkins, and also the work of Abraham Hicks. I have something called the emotional. So the emotional is pretty basic, too basic to be like really useful for me in what I wanted to do. And Dawkins, he did scientific research on the frequency of emotions and he mapped them all out. And that was too complex to actually be usable in everyday life. So over time, I just created this map that, from what I hear from HJUers, many of them have it laminated and they use it with their kids, which I think is so fun. So that is, and of course, we doodle during Doodle Your Emotion that people get the benefit of seeing how you get that witness perspective and a whole new view of your own personal development.
Oh, sounds wonderful. We will definitely include that link in the show notes for this episode. Thank you so much for sharing your HeartWork journaling process with us and spending time with me on the show.
Jennifer, thank you so much.
And to all of our listeners, please remember that you have permission to scrapbook and create and journal your way.